Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. America is aging at a rapid rate as nearly 80 million baby boomers are reaching or have reached the age of 65. We're living longer, and that's the good news. Less good is our ability to afford it and maintain quality of life. We'll be talking more about that in just a couple of moments. But first, the new U.S. Congress, the 114th, is now in session and under Republican control. Will it be more productive than the last? And what role will local legislators play? St. Louis Public Radio's Washington correspondent Jim Howard joins us to talk about it. Jim, welcome. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Don. Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, let's get right to it. Have you had any indication from the legislators so far that this Congress is likely to be more productive than the 113th?
Well, there have been lots of expressions of hope that the Republicans who are coming into leadership in positions in the Senate and those who have been in leadership and hope to retain their positions in the House have talked about moving a number of bills that previously passed in the 113th Congress in just the House with bipartisan support. One of those bills comes up today. It's the Hire More Heroes Act. It did not get considered in the Senate. Also, we know the Keystone XL pipeline legislation that had been blocked for a vote in the Senate for years, got a vote late in the session last year, will be coming up very early in this session. Both of those have bipartisan support. There's good reason to believe that both of those can pass both chambers of Congress and head to the White House.
Are the Republicans feeling their oats now that they're in majority?
Well, I think they're a little bit lighter in their step and looking at the possibility of having a clear shot through the rotunda from one chamber to the other. Yes, beyond that, it's anyone's guess.
Well, one of the first orders of business, as you have indicated, is the Hire More Heroes Act. What is that actually all about?
Well, it's about a couple of things. On its face, it's about helping post-9/11 veterans who are unusually high in the number of unemployed veterans or veterans that find it difficult to find work as compared to other veterans from other eras. And it's about helping them find employment with small businesses. The background political element of this, the interest is to find a piece of legislation that has bipartisan support that can get through both chambers that changes the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, that can get a bill like that on the president's desk. The specific details of this bill is that it would exempt small employers from counting vets that come in with insurance, health care insurance from the Department of Defense or the Veterans Administration. If they already have insurance, they wouldn't have to be provided insurance by the new employer, and the new employer would not have to count them toward those numbers that trigger provisions under the Affordable Care Act. And that's where it helps the vets, it helps small business, but it also gives the Republicans an interesting political vehicle to move legislation that changes the Affordable Care Act.
And there's a local connection to that, or at least a regional connection to it.
One of the area lawmakers that we cover, Representative Robbie Davis, who is beginning his second term today, is the sponsor of the bill. It has other co-sponsors from many states across the country, including some from Missouri. But, yes, Rodney Davis was a freshman last year when the idea was introduced. Republican leadership in both chambers put it at the top of the priority list of legislation they want to use symbolically and literally to show that they can put Democrats on Republican bills and pass those out of the Capitol building.
Sounds like it could be a fairly clever move. I mean, this is a motherhood and apple pie kind of situation when you're doing something positive for veterans.
Well, and you know, both parties play these games going into the election. I'm not suggesting that this bill doesn't have some legitimate merit beyond the politics. It may be a twofer. They may get the legitimate politics and the legitimate policy in here that does good things. But, yeah, some of these pieces of legislation are out there, and they can be difficult for lawmakers that don't want to get caught up in the politics of it. So they play to the press release side of it. They play to the issue that is the mom and apple pies and taking care of vets and taking care of small business. And then at some point it'll become the president's problem to decide how he wants to deal with the bill.
Well, another thing that I know that our regional representatives are most interested in this time around, as every time, is defense-related issues, the defense industry, and some of our military facilities in this area. Anything particular going on there we should know about?
Well, we know that now that Senator Roy Blunt has moved into majority in the Senate, the Republicans taking control there, his influence, he's always had a significant amount of influence on defense appropriations measures. The Missouri delegation actually is fairly influential both in the House and in the Senate. Senator Blunt has also picked up a new committee assignment this session. He's on the Senate Intelligence Committee. That has a lot of impact on facilities that are in Missouri, on the western part of the state. So we are still a very well-connected and well-represented state when it comes to looking out for both the defense industry and the private sector and our military facilities.
Sure. And, of course, on the Illinois side, we've got Scott Air Force Base, and there's an ongoing concern about its future.
There is, but on the Illinois side of the river where we lost Congressman Enyard, he's being replaced today by Republican Mike Bost. Mike Bost is a former vet. He's interested in the same issues. Enyard had a longer military background, was also keenly interested in Scott Air Force Base. But you also have Senator Dick Durbin, who, while he is moving from the majority side to the minority side, he still is the number two Democrat in the Senate, still is on the Senate on the Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense. So there's still a fair amount of regional muscle when it comes to looking out for military facilities and personnel.
You know, there's that old saw that politics makes strange bedfellows sometimes. And I look at it this way when I see that Senator Blunt and Senator McCaskill are on the same page with regard to the Keystone Pipeline.
Well, Senator McCaskill would tell you that wasn't necessarily so strange. She comes at it from the position of looking at jobs, and she specifically backs the idea of the pipeline as being the safest means by which to move the oil out of Canada, so-called tar sands from Canada. Environmental groups are concerned with that. They are specifically disappointed that McCaskill as a Senate Democrat went along with the legislation, and they're hoping that they might be able to influence her vote in the days ahead as it comes back up. But there are a number of issues where Senator McCaskill is more moderate than many of her colleagues in the Senate Democratic Caucus. And then that played out last year when the Senate Democrats finally relented and let this bill come up for a vote. It had all of the appearance of a choreographed vote where the bill came up exactly one vote short of being necessary to pass. And the Senate Democrats up to this point had sort of been the firewall between the White House and House Republicans to keep bills the president didn't want to see from getting to his desk.
And she surprised, I think, a number of people when she announced that she would not be supporting Senator Reid, the former majority leader in the Senate, for another leadership role.
She did, and we talked to her at the time about that. And she said that she had gone to Senator Reid and expressed her concerns to him about the caucus needing new leadership and recognizing that some of the divisions that had been pointed at by Republicans and the issue of Senate Democrats trying to hang on to their majority. At the time, she represented as one of those that Senator Reid at least respected the fact that she came to him directly and was honest about her position. There were a handful of Senate Democrats at the time that did not vote for him to become the new minority leader in this 114th Congress. So they were hopefully for someone else, but that's about as far as it went. It did not turn into a serious challenge. Probably very similar to what John Boehner is going to face today in the House. There's going to be a number of individuals that will object to him being Speaker again, but in the end, I think he'll prevail.
And she'll be active again on the campus sexual assault issue, where she was last session.
She will. And one of the things that, by her explanation, they just sort of ran out of time at the end of the 113th Congress as they were trying to deal with the big piece of legislation was that omnibus or cromnibus, depending on which way you want to look at it. It's the first time in about 6 years that we've had a budget that lasted more than a few months. They actually funded all parts of the federal government through the end of this fiscal year, which is September 30th at the end of this year. The only agency that didn't get that funding is the Department of Homeland Security. That's because the department deals with issues of immigration. Republicans are not happy with the president on his recent executive order dealing with immigrants and holding off about 5 million from deportation. So they want some lever to bring that issue back and discuss the issue with the president or try to advance their legislation against his wishes.
Ann Wagner, Congresswoman from the 2nd District, will be reviving an issue she's interested in, specifically sex trafficking is on her agenda.
It's a piece of legislation that she worked on as a freshman. The companion bill is handled by Illinois Senator Mark Kirk, who is also dealing with that. Now that Republicans have the majority in both chambers, Wagner and Kirk are both very optimistic that something can happen with this legislation. That's another one of those issues that can be very difficult for lawmakers to have any objections to, depending on the details of the bill. It's certainly an issue that has captured attention in a number of forms. But yes, Representative Wagner is very interested in moving that bill forward, along with a couple of others.
Any other things that come to mind, Jim, with regard to where the priorities lie for our legislators in D.C.?
Well, I think you're going to see some individuals getting used to being in the minority for the first time. Senator McCaskill moves from majority to minority. But again, as we've talked about, she has managed to navigate a fairly middle-of-the-road position. She is not shy about taking positions that sometimes put her in opposition to where her colleagues in the Senate Democratic Caucus are. She always couches it in terms of what's good for the state of Missouri and where she's been on issues of government spending, waste, and those kind of things. So she seems to be able to navigate moving to the minority a little easier than some lawmakers we've seen in other places. Dick Durbin talked about having been in Congress long enough to know that you have to take a bit more pragmatic approach when the other party is in control, and you sort of can't lose your mind at the possibility that you're not going to get everything, but you just have to negotiate the best deal you possibly can. Now, there will be places where Senate Republicans will need a number of Senate Democrats to move pieces of legislation and possibly get them past the point of being, you know, a veto-proof situation. But there are still going to be Democrats that are going to be critical in the Republican plans to move bills out of the Senate now that they have control.
Well, it promises to be an interesting session, and you're going to be a busy guy, I know, for the next several months. I'm sure that a lot of the people across the country are hoping that this is, in fact, a more productive group than has been the case in the past. Jim Howard, thank you so much, and for spending some of your first day as Congress convenes with us. Thank you.
Tom, thanks a lot.
That's St. Louis Public Radio's man in Washington, Jim Howard. Coming up, the aging of America and issues that raises. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.